You will hear part of an interview in which two meteorologists called Moya Cutts and David Wallace are talking about their work in Antarctica. For questions 1 to 6, choose the answer A, B, C, or D, which fits best according to what you hear.
My guests today are Moya Cutts and David Wallace, two meteorologists who have worked in Antarctica. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
It can't be easy living in Antarctica. What kept you motivated, Moya?
Well, look, who wouldn't grab the chance to see Antarctica for themselves? The environment's so stunning and pristine. You've got the penguins and the albatross. If you look at our website later, you'll see some great photos. Generally, visitors aren't allowed near protected species, so we're privileged to be able to see them. Sure, the winters can seem long, but if you feel down, the team will support you. And we're all trying to achieve the same thing, to produce good science. I was always thinking there's more we can accomplish as a group. That's what drove me. It's a challenge, of course. You're in constant darkness for a good part of the winter, and if the snowstorms are bad, you stay inside.
With the recruitment process, is there a standardised way to see whether you have the right aptitude for the job?
A psychometric assessment? Not that I'm aware of. Generally, you go in front of a panel of interviewers and have a long chat. It's nerve-wracking at first, but they've all been through the challenges of Antarctica themselves, so they can judge how well people are going to do, and so that approach works. It's just really important to know what's lying ahead of you.
Actually, at my interview, I thought I was applying for a 16-month stretch, but at the end, they said, "We'd like you to go for 34." I was not expecting that. But they obviously believed I'd be up to the task, and definitely all those questions give both sides the information they need. Plus, I firmly believe that if you don't seize an opportunity, you end up regretting it. So, yeah, that was that.
And David, how did you deal with months on end of darkness?
You get yourself into a routine pretty fast. When you first get there, there are lots of activities to take part in, like you make presents for each other on Midwinter's Day, or do the best you can. You're pretty much confined to the station by that point, as the outside temperature is minus 50 to 60 degrees. That's when you think, can I get through this? And the other 10 people at the station are all thinking the same. Sometimes just the sound of someone walking down the hall will tell you whether they need to be left alone or whether they need company and a cup of tea. You just have to figure out how to get on with everyone. You go, okay, now I can put up with anything. I guess it's something that changes you. You won't still be that same person your friends and family used to know.
So after that, how do you return to normal society?
It's rather like culture shock. I spent all that time with just 10 people, and you have to pull your weight, not just with your specific job, but with the demands of communal living. So when I returned to London, I sort of expected everyone to be friendly and helpful, which they weren't. I'd happily start a conversation with anyone I'd meet. A few times, in a cafe, I found myself taking plates back to the kitchen. I'd have to remind myself that wasn't expected anymore.
And Moya, what about the research you were doing? You were in charge of the weather balloon, I believe.
That's right. I spent a lot of time looking into the sky. It's perfect because there's no light pollution to interfere with observations. And now I can identify every possible cloud type there is. So first thing every day, I'd go out and release the balloon. What's nice is, you know, other people all over the world are doing the same thing, doing their bit to help forecast the weather. And that connects you, even if you're thousands of miles apart. That said, you can't wait to come inside again.
And then what you do at the scientific station gets compared to satellite data?
Exactly. Sometimes when people ask me what I do, they're surprised the weather in Antarctica affects the weather across the world. And also that people like us still go out and send up weather balloons, something meteorologists have been doing since the late 1800s. But from the balloons, we get information on atmospheric pressure, temperature, humidity, and wind speed, things that can lead to dramatic weather events. We use those measurements to help establish the accuracy of the satellite data we're sent. It doesn't always seem to match up. So then the challenge is to work out why the differences occur.
Will you ever return?
If I went back, it would be for a shorter period of time.
Same here.
Moya and David, thank you.